in Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read two or three verses here. One of them familiar to everybody. But in verse 24 it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And this next verse is the most sobering verse. For what if a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I thought about this, meditated on it, tried to find scripture related to it, and I've just went two or three different ways. And I don't know, it might not help nobody here, but it helped me just studying it and understanding and realizing a few more things. The first thing I would say is, and I would like to point to, and I don't know, I never had really thought about it. Heard anybody say anything about it or picked up on it, but there's one place in this verse 26 that says something that spoke to my heart, and it is where it says, lose his own soul. Every man owns his own soul. And I thought about this. It don't matter. Of course, this has reference to the things of the world. But I thought about this. It don't matter how poor you are or how rich you are or somewhere in between. Don't make no difference. Everybody owns their own soul. Not only that, everybody's responsible for their own soul. And I think if there's one thing in this book that God would have us to understand is that one thing. I'm not responsible for yours. And you're not responsible for mine. There's another place in the scripture I thought about when I was looking at this. I want to look at three different, I don't really know how to say it, but for lack of better terms, I'll just say there's three different categories. That don't by no means describe what I've really got on my heart, but I don't know how else to describe it. Three different categories of mankind. And I really didn't think about this until when I was just about done studying this, and it dawned on me. I never thought about it before. But anyway, I want to look at the first one, and that is the one that's man that's his soul is forever lost. The winning of the world is of often the losing of the soul. The loss of the soul is so great a loss that the gain of the world cannot make it up. I thought about a place, and I'm going there and read this. It's just a few pages over. It's in Matthew chapter, I think it's 19. Verse 16. I think I'm right. Let me look. 19 and 16. Well, let me see. 18. Matthew chapter 19. And I believe it says there in the preceding verses that this was a young man come to the Lord. And he said, he called him good master. Y'all remember that, don't you? You're familiar with it? He said, "What might I do that I shall do that I might have eternal life?" He asked him that question. And the Lord told him in verse 18, and he said unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that what thou hast, give unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. And when the young man had heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I had a sobering thought. Of course, this don't apply to us, and I understand that. But I had a sobering thought. What if, and I know he's not, I know we're, the Lord's ascended back into heaven. He's not here anymore, but I'm just hypothetical. What if? What if the Lord come and told me that same thing? What if he come and told you that same thing? Give up everything you got. How would we respond? This man went away sorrowful. You know why? Because of the possessions that he owned. That's what he's talking about here. For what would a man profit if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? I thought about this. There was a time in my life, Ralph, and I know you pretty good, and I think it was a time in your life. And I'd say probably a lot of people, most people maybe in here, was saying, when the Lord had come to me and said that to me, it wouldn't have been no problem. You know why? Because I didn't have nothing. I ain't got much now, but compared to then, I've got a whole lot. I'm talking about earthly things, treasures, earthly treasures. It wouldn't have been too much back then. I probably went, you know, it wouldn't have been no problem for me to agree to done that because, like I said, didn't have nothing, but things change. This man had a great possessions, the Bible said. Wasn't willing to part with them. And so probably, I'm guessing, I think it indicates that this man lost his own soul. Then I thought about another, and I'm going to go through the first two, because the last one I want to talk about has more to do with us. Then there's another one, and I'm going to be going over into Matthew chapter 7. Seems like I've been there a whole lot in the last few weeks. Probably necessary that we spend a lot of time there. A lot to be said. But there's another group of mankind, and that group is the deceived group. You know, said there in verse 21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name, and in many wonderful works? In thy name cast out devils? He said this. I'm looking for the verse. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So there's a deceived group. Churchgoers. People have been deceived. Used to, we kind of put them way over yonder in another bunch. Because what we know is that independent fundamental believers, a few years ago, I don't think we had to worry about that as much as we do today, but we've come to a place, even in the fundamental realm, where things have been misconstrued and twisted up. We talk about it a lot. The reason I talk about it a lot, because it's on my heart a lot. And that is the way it is. Whatever's in your heart comes out of your mouth. I believe that's what it says, something to that effect. And so I think about it a lot, people being deceived in religion. The Bible said twice dead and plucked up by the roots. You know what that means? What it means to me anyway? It's when somebody gets lost in religion, they're twice as hard to reach. They'll hold on to that and lose their own soul. You know why that's I thought about this. The reason that is the way it is, it's because if you look over in that same chapter that I was just in a minute ago, chapter 7, he says, enter ye into straight gate. And it gives us two different areas. There's a wide gate and a narrow gate. Anybody with any common sense at all knows there's more can get in a wide gate than they can a narrow gate. Easier to get in the wide gate than it is the narrow gate. Common sense. And it narrows it down. Enter you into straight gate. Broad way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in therein. Because straight is a gate. Narrow is a way that leadeth to life. And few there be that find it. It's not changed. It's not changed. It's still just as narrow today as it was when this was written. But somehow another religion has narrowed it, has tried to open it up. You know, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. All of you knows what I'm talking about. But it's still the same. Mankind would like to reverse that. They try to reverse it. But the Word of God's forever settled in heaven. God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He don't change. He don't change with society. He don't change with our thinking. And we need to understand that. What's it got to do with us as God's people? People that has been saved. That's not been deceived. Well, there is a people. And I think we're included in this people. And I want to read this verse 27. It says, for the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, preacher, I believe preaching might have been Wednesday night. He got on the works a little bit. But I thought about this when I read that. It don't say according to his gains, but according to his works. And I thought about, I know that if you've been saved and born again, I'm talking about really saved, washed in the blood, born of the Spirit, your soul is not in jeopardy. Never will be. But I thought about this. You know, it says one place in the scripture, it said, you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Here it talks about, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So our soul's not in jeopardy. But I thought about this. And I kind of related to, I done a study one time on those Israelites that come out of bondage. In one place there in Corinthians, God made a statement. He said he was not well pleased with them. And I think today, in the time we live in, the generation we live in, I'm talking about believers, born-again believers, that he might make that same statement about most of us. And I thought about man losing his soul. I guess the next worst thing to that would be, or will be, is for somebody that's been saved and born again to go into heaven and our Lord look at us and say, you didn't do what you ought to have done. You can go to heaven, but I'm really not pleased with what you've done. Paraphrasing. You ever thought about that? Amen. That's what he's talking about here. I thought about just some verses that we quote a lot, talk about a lot. And again, I said I made this statement the other day, and I might be out of place doing it, but I don't think I am. We talk about 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. We see this in yards, you know, on the little, look like house for sale signs. I saw them a lot. Saw it on billboards. But he says, if my people, that's us, which are called by my name, I would say Christians, wouldn't you? He says, if they shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Boy, that's a lot of stuff. Well, y'all know the rest of the story. Our Lord, on this same line, he told some people, I think it's just back a chapter maybe or two, chapter 6, matter of fact, I think, in Matthew, verse 19, he said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Now that was to them then. It's to us today. You see, we have a problem, all of us do, of having too much. We've grown accustomed to it. We've grown used to it. And I said a while ago, you know, if the Lord had come and said to me the same thing that he said to this young rich man here, you know, give up, sell what you got, give it away, come follow me. If he had said that to me about 50 years ago, I wouldn't have had no problem with it because I didn't have nothing. But if he told me that today, or if he told you that today, what would be your reaction? Well, he is telling us that. Lay down, not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth, rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. I thought about this just reading that, just insert this. Anything that you have, it's so easy to get rid of that a thief can come through and get it, and it ain't worth a whole lot anyway. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. I thought about us today. I'm going to help the preacher out a little bit. He told me the other day. I thought about how we would respond if he told us the same thing he told this young rich man. And I think I pretty well got my answer. Most of us today, a lot of us today, I'll say today, Brother Rick, this is for you, we won't even hardly pay our tithes. Much less give up everything. I thought, you know, the Lord was pretty easy on us when he just said, give me 10%. Of course, he wants, if you feel like that you can give more than that, you ought to, according to how he's blessed us. But in most cases, or a lot of cases, people don't even want to do that. So how would we respond if he said to us, just give up everything? And then I thought about this. We're talking about things here. Things are important. Things are important for life, to sustain us, get us through. A lot of times we say, you know, I have to have this, but he said, I'll supply all your needs. But even more than things, even more important than things, I think, is what lies in the heart. And I don't know yours and you don't know mine. But I do know this. He knows them. And our attitude in our heart, somehow or another, I know things means a lot to us, but to the Lord, things don't mean nothing. And somehow I'm just of the opinion that what's in our heart, and I'm going to tell you something, this is no way out for anybody. The Bible said man's heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And we're all like that. That's one thing we have in common. And I'm of the opinion it's more important to the Lord even than these things. It's what lies in our heart. And there's one thing about what's in our heart. It's between us and the Lord. And we can, you can verbally tell somebody what you feel like or what's in your heart, and I know that. Most of the time we don't tell everything. And I think it's more important what lies in our heart. It has to do with faithfulness. It has to do with commitment. I thought about this. Back over again in chapter 6 of chapter 7, I believe it is. I meant chapter 7. Where have we been going? Chapter 7. There was something else that went along with this, where I'm at now, I think. And he said, after he said, I never knew you, depart from me, it changes directions again. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to a wise man to build his house upon a rock. It has to do with believers. People that have embraced this blessed old book and the way of salvation. It has to do with them. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, Second Corinthians 4:18 says this, while we, believers, look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, the things that's in our heart. The things which are not seen about us. The things in our heart that really matter. I see this more all the time. I understand it better all the time. I said the other day, it's a shame we have to get so old to learn anything, Brother Rose. I guess that's the way it is. Maybe some people not like that, but I am. But it's really important what we have in our heart. I thought about how we are made, and as we walk through this world and things that we permit to go into our heart, the things that we obstruct from going into our heart is really important. I think about things that I've seen visionally, things I don't like, but things that I've permitted myself to say, look at, or whatever. And that might be different for a lot of different people. I'm talking about things that we ought not partake of. I'm just trying to get to how, and you all already know this, but I'm reminded how we're made up and how we work and how we operate and how we function. And I think about maybe something that I've seen somewhere, Larry, maybe it might have been a long time ago or whatever, I don't know. But how often at that, just out of nowhere, will appear in my mind again? I don't like it. Matter of fact, I hate it. But in spite of everything I can do, there it is. I said that to say this, it's important to what we allow to go on around us. And that takes in a lot of other different areas. It's important where we take ourselves, the people that we're around. And I know a lot of times people say, well, you know, I need to be a witness to them. Better be careful. In fact, me and Kathy had a discussion about that. She reminds me more of that than I remind her. I think she's more worried about where I'm going to be at than where she is. That's okay, Murray. You can do him the same way, because I think it's all right, because, and I'm going to brag on the women a little bit. I think sometimes they have a little, what do you call that, intuition or something like that. I don't know what that is. I just got an idea. Okay, they're smarter. No, sometimes I really do think, Brother Rose, that they can see a danger maybe or whatever sometimes when we can't see it. And we may be innocent in anything that's going on, but there's a possibility. Anyway, it's important. It's important to us as God's people to filter, per se, everything that we're around and everything we see. And I know it's hard to do. Listen. What I'm talking about is not easy. It's the hardest thing you'll deal with as a believer, is to police this flesh. It's hard. Believe me. You already know it. I don't have convention. We all know it. But do need to be reminded. Well, he said, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, built his house upon a rock. Rains descended, floods came, winds blew, beat upon the house, and great, no, it wasn't great, I was getting to the next one, and it fell not. But he, whosoever doeth these sayings of mine, heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, it will liken him unto a man that built his house upon the rock, upon the sand. Floods came, winds blew, beat upon the house, and great was the fall thereof. Like I said, a man can lose his own soul. He's responsible for it. He owns it. He's forever lost. The loss of the soul is so great a loss that the gain of the world cannot make up for it. That person is forever lost. This next person, he's forever lost too, but he's lost not just by totally rejecting everything. He's lost because of deception. deceived in religion. I think men be safe saying it. There's more of that today than has ever been in past history. Does that bother you? It does me. I saw something the other day. My wife showed me something. She don't like me to do this, but I have to because that's the only way I can tell you. She showed me something on something. I don't know what it's on. Something on the phone. I don't know where it was, what avenue it was coming in on, but it's something that somebody put on there. And I've seen that, and I have relatives that are a part of what she's showing me. And it was a church service. Supposedly church service. And I have never, Brother Lowell, in my life seen anything like it. Never I've seen anything like it. I've seen some crazy stuff, you know, heard about some crazy stuff, but I never seen nothing like that. And they call that worship. I'm not being too specific about it, so I can say this. It was worship, but it's devil worship. And that same place a few years ago wasn't like that, let me tell you that. You hear me? There's a danger there because we still have an enemy. We have an adversary. And he don't care how lost you are. You know, if you're lost, you're lost. And he don't care if you're lost in religion. He don't care if you're lost in total denial, total rejection. It don't matter to him. There are those that are lost in religion and deceived. Then there are those that are saved by the grace of God. That'll go to heaven. But they'll go coming up short. For lack of a better term. I'd rather hear him say, well done, wouldn't you? I don't know what he might say the other way, but I got an idea how he might look at us. Brother Lowell, he'll look at us with a broken heart and sadness. He'll look at us I don't know. But that, to me, that'd be the next worst thing to a person losing his own soul. Not with rejection, but with sadness. Rewards. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, praise, seek my face. And probably more importantly than the first three is the last one. And turn from their wicked ways. You see, God expects stuff out of his people. You expect stuff out of your children. We want to see them do good, don't we? We want to see them grow physically and spiritually. And I don't think our Heavenly Father expects anything less out of us. So, may not have helped you, but I think it's helped me. Just to understand a little bit better the responsibility that I have on me as a believer. As God's youngin. You know, we are living in last days and perilous times, and I think the preacher said the last service we could leave here before the service is over with. That ought to be a sobering thought to our heart. That ought to at least make us want to worship him this morning in spirit and truth, Brother Lowell. Not put on no show or nothing like that. See, that don't impress him at all. Because he sees straight through it. Boy, I'm so glad that he's like that. Sometimes I misjudge people. I think wrong about them. I think maybe, and you know, we all do. But I'm glad he don't miss the mark, not one time. I like that. I like it when he knows I'm really mean business. I think we ought to do the best we can to try to worship him, try to be what we ought to be, and not deceive ourselves, and keep our heart pure and true to the Lord. And I believe if we do that, I said if we do that, we won't have to look at him and him look at us the way we've been talking about. I believe y'all agree with all that, don't you?